Okay. So we're gonna go back verse 22 for just a minute and read that back, and then we'll pick up with our study tonight, which is a study of 206 in our study of wisdom and Jack's Workman's Interlinear. And as Ronnie said, today was the 18th day of October, and that's generally the day that we have our growing season to stop here. I don't know where it's going to do that in the morning or not, but it normally does it somewhere between the 15th and the 20th of this month. So, we'll take what we get. Verse 22, I did it last week, and I only did the one verse, but I'll go back and read it, but we'll pick up with 23 for the study tonight. But 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So there was four things there that we looked at, and righteousness was one of them, faith was one, charity was one, and peace was the other. And we only had time with all the verses that Jack wanted us to look at. That's all the time we had to do. The rest of them was, about 15 or 16, I think, and it took quite a little bit to get through them. But study 206 tonight goes back to 23, and I'll just read it out of the King James, and then we'll pick it up with my notes. It said, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." And I think you see this more times than one in the scripture concerning the foolishness or the foolish things that we deal with, and part of it is your genealogy quite often, because when you look up your genealogy, there may be things in there that you didn't know about your family, and it takes you away from doing the scripture work that you need to do daily or whenever you're involved in studying or reading your scripture. And so this is where we're continuing on. This is what Paul is telling Timothy to do, because Timothy is still not with Paul here. He had left him in Ephesus, and so in 1st and 2nd Timothy both, Paul was really in a great desire to see and talk with Timothy, because he had some things he wanted to get him to do before Paul passed on. Paul understood that his day was just about over, and God gave him that information and such. But we'll pick up with 23, the foolish and unlearned questions. Okay, I got my notes here, and it says, "But foolish," or that word "foolish" there is the word moros, and it means foolishness. And it also talks about unlearned questions here. Well, the uninstructed are those that know not, and therefore look as being kind of being trifling. And sometimes that's the way we are as being young in the scripture, or not realizing the scripture as what it's trying to tell us. And of course, Paul was a good teacher and he had the things to tell. But now, if you're uninstructed and you do not know, as a teacher, I've learned and still are learning that one cannot teach what they don't know. And so if you don't know what your subject is and you don't know about your subject, so therefore sometimes it becomes questionable, and these questions come from others that you're talking with or talking to and maybe witnessing to. And so it's questions that needed to be avoided. And to avoid, and that word is zetasis, and it means to reject or refuse. And the word knowing is ada, and that's to know intuitively without the effort to understand. And that's something that once you get involved with the Word of God, that you begin to grasp or understand those things that shouldn't gender your strife, but sometimes they do, because quite often we read and we don't study out those things, and we've heard them. And we understand what they mean, but yet the effort to give it to someone else sometimes gets to be a little problem. And those kind of things sometimes do gender strife. And it begets or unrest and fears and troubles that goes with these kind of things. So when we go back and we look at what we just read in 23 there, where it says these questions we need to avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, because quite often you're put on the hot seat somewhat about things that other people have come to know or have heard from some other teachers. And sometimes we're not all on the same page with our understanding. And I have been in that kind of a problem quite often, because I remember back when Brother Larry came to Wolfsteak, after I become a believer, 3 weeks later, they voted me in for Sunday school superintendent. So I kind of got thrown into the fire right straight off. And so let's go ahead and read what Brother Jack said. And we'll read 23 down below, out of the Koine Greek in the English. It said, "The but stupid and untrained questions decline, knowing that they beget contentions." And that's quite a statement there. And of course, Paul wanted Timothy to remember this. This is why he brought it up this far down into his lifespan. And Timothy had not been with Paul for a while, because he had been left there to keep those people in Ephesus straight as to what Paul had taught, and left with them people as he left, but he left Timothy there to keep things going and take care of the bishops and those that needed to be ordained into different offices of the assemblies. And so this is why that Timothy was there and was not with Paul, but the back and forth going was probably pretty good shape, because you couldn't pick up the telephone and call anybody then, so it was a situation that somebody generally went back and forth, and this was how Paul kind of kept up with those that he had brought down the line to understand the truths that he had given. Okay, and let's see what Jack says. Jack wrote this. He said, "There are those who ask questions for no other reason than to attract attention." And I found that to be quite true a lot of times too. "And others know little of what they are speaking, but may desire to know more of his word." And how do you discern those two? How do you? You got to be pretty quick-witted to realize, kind of get the point of where someone's at and what they understand according to the word. Because quite often, if you've been into a church situation, quite often you've only heard what the church wants you to hear. And quite often someone will stay in a assembly or a church for a long period of time, and you don't get to hear anything much different from their normal sermons. And people have those. And I guess we all do, in a sense, as to what we understand and realize and believe. And that's not a bad thing, but when you're doing a situation where you're talking with somebody that's in that kind of a situation, then you need to fill out and get kind of get back on the same page with them. Otherwise, you're not going to get very far. If you talk over their head, you got to kind of meet them on their level to begin with before you can begin to teach them something that's really useful and to get them interested in listening and hearing what you have to say. Jack says a teacher could conceivably decline questions in a tactful and loving manner. And that's true too, because I learned that from Brother Larry Dyer, because we get talking about something and he'd say, "Are you sure about that?" And I knew right quick at that point in time that I hadn't looked at it down to the point where he had, and I was fixing it. I was going to be unloaded on pretty quick. So here you go. So we need to remember all this stuff. And said the things to look out for are foolish and untrained questions. Is the potential for strife here that you can turn somebody off quicker than you can turn them on, quite often. And that wasn't in Jack's notes, but I'll just go ahead and add that there. And it says this is the ultimate danger. And why is that? And Jack does give you the answer to that. It says Satan can make great hay out of a lot of these situations, because if you don't do it in the right manner, you might get the wrong conclusions to those that want to hear something, and you might turn them off, and they'll pass on from you to someone else that maybe can get a little more out of. And so there's four or five things here that we need to look at. There's six things, I think, that Jack does, because he always, not always, but generally always, gives you scripture to look at. And it's pretty pointed, generally. And it kind of hits the button almost every time. And so I try to, I've got my book open and I look at these and I try to go back and start at the earliest one that's in scripture, the way that scripture is laid out. And then go from there, we go from there down toward the end of the book as to what, Jack has put in here. And so we're going to start out with these foolish and unlearned, uninstructed questions that sometimes the teacher don't know, because quite often, you know, we want to keep their attention, and but now I've learned that that's not really good, because you can't teach what you don't know. Well, let's go back to Matthew 5 and look for a minute at Matthew 5. We'll start there. And all the way back to Matthew. And we'll go to Matthew 5 and we'll look at Matthew 5. 13. Matthew 5:13. And Matthew 5:13 is on page 1817 if you have a companion Bible, which I use, King James Version. And 5:13 says this: "We are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" The question is, shall it be salted, or can it be used as salt? "It is therefore good for nothing but be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of man." And so this was what Jack was trying to get us to see in Matthew, because there are things that fit and things that don't fit. And of course, salt, if it's not salty, is just so much,
not much good,
waste. Yeah, it's just not there. Okay, so we got the 5:13 in Matthew. Then the next one is 1 Corinthians 3. And I've got a bunch of places marked in my Bible. And so I can generally find what I want to get at pretty quick. 1 Corinthians 3, and we want to look at 3:18. To start off with, and that's on page 1701. If you have a companion Bible, if you don't, I can't help you. But it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." And again, it says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." Because if a man only knows the things of this world, then he don't know very much. And that's true. And then we want to look at another one on chapter 4, And we can turn the page because we want to look at 10, but it's on page 1702 in my Bible. And it says this in 10. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. And of course, all you got to do now is turn on your television to see how despised you are, because the rest of the world is trying to destroy those that claim to have some sort of understanding of the God of this universe. Mm-hmm. And that's not working out too awfully good in places. Okay. That was two places there in 1 Corinthians. And the next one is two places in 1 Timothy. So let's turn to 1 Timothy. Okay. In 1 Timothy 4. And we want to look at 6 and 7 on page 1804, if you have a companion Bible. 1 Timothy 4. Six and seven. And it says this. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And here's the negative of this. It says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness, because there's just not a lot of truth in profane and old wives' tales. They may work and they may not, but you know, that's part of the worldly situation too. And then let's go to chapter 6, which is another page over again, because it seems like we go, let's flip a page and we're there. And 1 Timothy 6, that's on 1806, and we're going to look at 3 and 4. It says, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not unto wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. And he goes on and says, you know, the perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind and destitute of truth, supposing the gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. And this is in the last two or three verses that we've gone through in 2 Timothy here says to avoid or to flee or move away from these type of things. And then we've got one more here that goes along with this verse of scripture, and it's in the book of Titus. It's in the letter that Paul wrote to Titus. And Titus is mentioned quite a bit in scripture, and more so than I really thought about one a few years ago. It seemed like Titus was something that we never did get involved too much with, but I enjoy it. It's been a real blessing to me to go through these last seven epistles. Titus 3. And we're going to look at 8 and 9. That's on page 18:19. Titus 3, 8 and 9. And sometimes they've been several verses here that starts with this. It says, "This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies," there you go, "and contentions, striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And so sometimes, you know, if you get into these things, and I've got into my genealogy a little bit, I found things that I really didn't want to know. And one of them was way back in Ireland, I had a cousin or some kin in Ireland that they had made him, they give him a job as being over the Argyle of sheep wool that's very profitable, and very evidently it's different from a lot of the other wools that are out there. And I don't know what he done, but Ireland put him down. He died. And I don't know why. I have no idea. So, you know, here's information that I've got a little of, but I don't have the story. I can't, as Paul Harvey says, I can't tell you the rest of the story because I don't know it. So there we are. And so that's part of the reason, because God says, you know, stay in the Word. The Word can tell you what you need to know. You may have to go to four or five places to get it. Well, but that's the way it's written. The book is written that way, that you don't get all you need to know sometimes in one place. And so that's God's way of giving you wisdom and understanding, because that's how study is. It's study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man, but that God knows you're giving your best when you witness to others concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So we went through verse 23. So let's go back to 2 Timothy again. And and in all these pages I've been flipping around, I sometimes take the marker out of there, but we want to go to verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2. And it's what we call a kind of a pregnant verse of scripture. It's loaded with stuff that sometimes we don't see and understand at just reading through. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." Okay. We've been told to flee. We've been told to avoid. We've been told to shun and do these very things. And here it says we must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. So if you are a servant of the Lord, if you're his bondman, it's in so many words, and we'll just read that too. I got my notes here. And it said, and the servant, the bondman, in the Koine Greek, it is bondservant quite often. But if you look, if you have a companion Bible and you look at appendage 190, it is in the first section and it's the second word down. And it's dauko. And it means to pursue. But it means to pursue in patience and gentleness, not to rush in like you're gonna grab somebody around the throat. Yes, that's not the way that it's supposed to be done.
Amen.
As being a teacher or an instructor or one that just understands the Word of God and tries to be someone that loves to do it and to be able to give it its best that you can do. To pursue in patience and gentleness of the Lord, and it must not strive. And that word strive there is macho mei in the Greek. And we all know kind of what macho is, you know, the big man or the out front guy that you sometimes don't like to get involved with. But it says, but be gentle. And to be gentle is the word idios. Epios. I'm sorry. The gentle is epios. Unto all men. Apt to teach. I'm not sure I can pronounce this, but it's didiakatios kaios. And that is to relate as to fully know. And it also says patience, to be patient, to teach with patience, to have the knowledge. And patient there is put in there, and it means to literally endure evil. Because quite honestly, sometimes when you're dealing with someone, they're going to give you their rendition of what they believe or understand, and maybe have changed positions and get involved in something that they might not be involved in. This is another way that Satan can use you as being someone that's not can get you going down the wrong way. Because sometimes when the road forks, if Satan can, he'll get you on his track rather than on the track that, that God would have you to go on, or the Holy Spirit would have you to go on. And there's a word in the Koine Greek for that, and that's anexikos. And that means to literally endure evil that somebody has got you now in a confrontation that they want to tell you what they think. Yep. And sometimes that works and sometimes it don't. And so here we are, because there's always two sides to a story, but a lot of times in God's word, it's man's word against God's word, and you got to be sure that you're on the right path that way. Because you have a walk. You have a walk that you grew up with, a walk that you had. And that's Halak in the Hebrew. And the way that God wants you to go, once you come to the understanding of God and His grace and His wisdom that He can bring forth to you and for you, then that's a little different word. But in the Hebrew, it is Yawlak, Y-A-W-L-A-K, and Y-A-W. Is kind of the dealing of the Godhead. So Halak is what you want to do, and Yawlak is what God would have you to do. And so
makes it pretty easy to remember too.
I did a long study on that at one time or the other too, also. But there's a good bit of stuff that goes with this too. And I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of it, but we'll get some of it. Verse 24 out of the Koine. It says this, bondman, but of Lord, not behooves to contend, but rather gentle to be, to ward all. Apt to teach, forbearing. And the little more modern Greek is pretty much the same thing. It says, but it does not behoove a bondman of Lord to contend, but rather to be gentle toward all, apt to teach, forbearing. Which seems to make a lot of sense, and I think that's what the King James Version did for that. And Jack's notes says, or these, it says, they are those of contentious spirit. Certainly there are times in every believer's life that his proclamation of God's word will cause him to be scorned by those without. The body member must not be looking to engage others in contentious strife. Gentleness is the byword of characterization of a body member. Further, he must be ready to teach at the spiritual drop of a hat, so to speak. He must also be patient and forbearing with all or everyone, while others may be exasperated with the body members. He must not react in kind or the same way as they are. So,
keep you cool.
You've got to keep your cool and keep yourself in tune with what God is asking you to give to these folks. And then there are several scriptures here that we need to look at. There, we got about 15 minutes, so we'll see how far we get here. But now there's about five places here that Jack kind of changes a little bit. And he goes way back. So let's go all the way back to Judges. We're going to go way back to Judges. And we're going to look at Judges 2, 6 through 10. And that, if you have a companion Bible, it's on page 327. And he talks about Joshua here. And it says, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. So they had gotten their land that God had promised them. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And let's see what I want to get to. 10. Okay. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he was a servant of God. He had been chosen to teach God's word. Died being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord hath done for Israel. So you see, there was a falling away after Joshua died, and they evidently didn't have strong leadership other than Joshua. And so they kind of went their own way. They kind of, in the fork of the road, they went the Halak trip rather than the Yalak trip. Okay. So I said all that before to remind myself to bring that in. Okay. That's what we find in Judges. Now we got another one in the book of Ezra, and we're going to look at Ezra 9, and we're going to look at Ezra 9, we're going to look at 10, 11, and 12, and that's on page 630 if you have a companion Bible. Ezra 9, and 10 through 12. And it says, and now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which you go to possess, it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to the other with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong, that you eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. So he says, look, you know, the reason I didn't want you to be involved with other people, because they don't have the same beliefs that you do. They don't believe in me. And that was the reason they were told not to take people other than from their own groups of people.
That was the leaven that he warned them against.
Yeah.
When you mingle with them, It ain't long. You got it in the whole month.
Absolutely. That's the way it is. That's the way it has been down, all down through the ages. Okay, that was Ezra. And we want to go from there to Jeremiah. No, we don't. We want to go. Yeah, we want to go to Jeremiah 7. Where's Jeremiah? Let's see, page 10. Jeremiah 7, I may not have put. Okay, I guess I didn't put a marker in it. That's probably about the time the telephone rang. When I was studying. Jeremiah 7:23-26. This is on page 1028 if you have a companion Bible. 23-26, I've got it marked. But I didn't put one of my bookmarks in. It says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ears, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ears, but hardened their necks, and they did worse than their fathers." So it seems like we're going through a place here that they didn't pay much attention to God's spokesman, and they got in trouble, and they got into a lot of trouble for that. And we're going to go from there to Daniel 9. I got my little card in Daniel 9, so. In Daniel 9, we're going to look at 4 through 7. This is on page 1107. No, 1197, I'm sorry. Daniel 9, page 1197, 4 through 7. And it says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confessions, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers, and to the peoples of our land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at the day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespasses. They that have trespassed against thee." And in verse 8, which I didn't put down, it says, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion."
Yep.
Once you leave the path that God wants you to walk, it cannot help but get you confused in the way that you're supposed to go. You're supposed to listen to the words of God, because at that time the Spirit was with you or upon you, but it wasn't in you. Because at this time they didn't have the indwelling Spirit. And so when we look at these things, and this is another thing that, you know, that you learn these things from going through the Word of God and getting understanding and getting wisdom, learning how to walk again. You know, as a kid, we thought we knew how to walk. But this was just our trip through this world. But the way that God wanted us to walk was the trip toward Him.
Yep.
And what He could do for us. Okay. The last one here is Amos. And I guess we might stop with this one and finish it up the next time, because Amos is kind of long. And we're in Amos chapter 3. And I want to look at 1 through 8 in Amos 3 on page 1235 if you have a companion Bible. And I'm just about out of time. It says, "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, full stop." Oh man, that's a lot of truth there. "Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." See, the one that could do away with these sinful things, He hadn't come as man yet. He was still the Son of God, but not. He was not the Redeemer of the world yet. And the question is, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's hard to do, isn't it? If you're trying to live with somebody and you can't agree with them, man, a lot of people get involved and get married and think that one can change the other into their way of thinking. And both of them, that, you know, get involved and it gets to be a bad situation. And sometimes their children, they gets involved with this thing too, because it gets to be more than just two. It says, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Or will a young lion cry out of his den if he had taken nothing or hadn't eaten? Okay, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophet. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So the question was, did you understand all this? If you don't have the wisdom of prophesying, or if you don't have the Word of God to use to prophesy, then all these things are just so much beating the air. It's things of the world. It's not the things of God. And so, There's a lot of stuff packaged in this verses of scripture. But this is going back now to Israel and what Israel had done and what God had seen and how God had dealt with these in five places here in the Old Testament. And none of them were good. None of them were really good. Because they didn't hold to the principle of walking the right path. Because you see, that was what God wanted them to do. And all these things were given to them, the law and all the things they had and these prophets and the ones that spoke for God, give them these things and they did not heed what it was that God wanted them to see or do or where they needed to go. And so here we are with that. And so, we're 2 or 3 minutes over, but we'll stop it with there and, maybe we'll pick it up. There's some pretty good, scripture along with this, but I wanted to go back to the, kind of to the beginning again and, say, okay, Israel, here's what you didn't do. But this is what God contended with all down through the ages with these people. And it's a wonder to me that he just didn't wipe them off and start over again, which he almost did on the 40-year journey, but they still wasn't much better at that point. They were young people that didn't know what God wanted them to do. And what it was that was desired of them. But Paul says in Hebrews, you needed a teacher to teach you because you didn't know. You was on the milk. You couldn't eat the meat. But here I am. And boy, was Paul someone that knew what to say because he had words that God had given to him that it took him a good long while to get them out to mankind, but he certainly did that in his last 7 books. And so that again is another thing of the big difference between what we have now and what they had then. And also, Israel was God's inheritance, and the Son of God paid for your and my sins in order that he could have the association with us as being part of him for eternity. And are we doing what we need to do? Maybe not, but he has paid the price for us, and therefore we can become part of him. And now we have a hope through that. We didn't have a hope before because these Israelites were so far out on left field that God chose some of the Gentiles and grafted them into Israel's hope. To get them to have fruit or to bear fruit for him. And so our hope was based upon Israel for a while, but now it's established in the one new man. And that's only through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. And I guess that's the main thing I wanted to say in my study for tonight. But what we have is through the Son of God, and that we can all be brought in to be a witness for for Christ because he doesn't send prophets anymore. Jesus Christ was the one that we needed to know.
Amen.
And the Apostle Paul got a full load of that. And if we look at his last 7 epistles that he wrote and take them to heart, we can't go wrong. God bless. Hope you have a rest of a good week. And thank you for being with us tonight.